There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
The other thing I think is going to be interesting to lots of people is the fact that Robbie Greenfield is here. See the build-up
Hey,
there?
Robbie.
Just let it go.
I'm not sure how much of a...
filtered it in there.
Interest that will be to anyone, but I am here. You're right about that.
It's nice to see you. New Year good? You were back for New Year, weren't you?
We were back for the Mubadala World Tennis Championships on the 28th.
Yeah.
So that was, obviously a very unfortunate week if you're a Novak Djokovic fan and various other players who didn't make the start line there. But it was a great weekend of tennis nonetheless. It was great to see Serena Williams in Abu Dhabi. And unfortunate that she's had to later withdraw from the Australian Open due to the fact that she just doesn't feel quite ready to return to competition. She's one of those players that, when entering a Grand Slam, will have the firm intention of winning it. And if she doesn't feel that she's able to do that, or she's not in the right physical shape to do that, then she won't do it. But we've got more tennis news, maybe just to kick things off with, in the shape of Andy Murray and Victoria Azarenka. If you recall, back in the US Open, back in September of last year, we mentioned that Victoria Azarenka would not play in that due to the fact that there's an ongoing custody battle over her 11-month-year-old son. That is still going on, even as we reach the new year in January. And unfortunately, it will mean she will not be taking part in the women's draw. So can add her name to the list of withdrawals on the women's side. Andy Murray, we knew he wasn't going to be taking any part. He's actually had hip surgery. He says he's not finished as a player by any means, but he hopes to be back in time for the summer grass court season in Wimbledon. You can expect that he's going to miss the hard court season over in the US and the clay court season as well. Wishing him a speedy recovery. And I know tennis is something that we're going to be chatting about on the show this week, because I am of the belief that there are gloomy times ahead in the world of men's tennis. Chris McCarty's taken a slightly more optimistic stance, but I think...
You think there's no heir to the throne, really, basically?
I think what you're going to have is... I mean, we'll obviously enjoy the likes of Federer, Nadal and Djokovic while we still can, but there will come a point when they all retire in fairly swift succession from one another, because Federer is an unnatural freak of an individual who's still playing at this level at 36 years of age. I think with all that they've gone through, it's unrealistic to expect Novak and Rafa to carry on for another 5 years and reach that age still playing at the level that Federer's at now. So I can see a situation in the next 3 or 4 years where they all retire, including Andy Murray. And then, well, Chris's argument is, but the likes of Alex Zverev or even Nick Kyrgios, who's clearly got all the talent but not quite the mentality right now. Dominic Thiem, these guys are going to step up. But it just feels like tennis has been very spoilt in the last 15, 20 years.
You don't feel like there is a superstar name coming through that you want to
personally,
pin your
I
hopes
don't.
On.
I don't, yeah, but okay. I could be wrong.
Yeah, well, we'll see, I suppose. But you make a very good point, because the writing's been on the wall, hasn't it? Roger Federer, in the last, year and a half, has picked very carefully what he will play and chosen exactly where he thinks he can, do well at. But that's at the expense of some of the Grand Slams.
Absolutely. And he didn't play in the French Open last year. I think he's shown the way forward for the ageing players on the tour in terms of scheduling, because the ATP and the WTA has come under some criticism for the ruthlessness of the schedule and how many tournaments these guys are expected to play at the top level. And it's just been shown with all the injuries that it's just not physically possible. Recovery time is important for these guys, particularly as the demands of a tennis game at the very highest level get ever increasing. We've seen that with the likes of Novak and Rafa have just pushed the boundaries of physical exertion to a new level in some of the matches that they've played, and the modern pros are following suit, and as a result we're seeing lots of injuries crop up on the men's circuit. But it's a Grand Slam at the end of the day. We're going to be excited. Hopefully as many of the question marked individuals do make the first round draw in the Australian Open as possible.
I like to think that you, just as they're pushing the boundaries of physical exertion, you're pushing the boundaries of broadcasting sports exertion.
Do you
know what I mean?
I'm going the other way in terms of physical exertion. I'm pushing the boundaries of how little one can do.
I thought it was
New Year, New You, Robbie.
It just hasn't kicked into gear yet.
It's only the first week.
A few other resolutions to sort out first.
What did you make a resolution?
I made a hatful of resolutions, actually, but we won't get into that.
Oh, dear.
Now we have to.
Chris has vowed to learn Spanish, and he hasn't even downloaded Duolingo yet. Can you imagine?
What's made him... why
can
Spanish?
You imagine what kind of accent he'd have as well?
Oh, would that
It'd
not be
brilliant.
Great?
Por favor.
goodness.
Why Spanish? What,
because he has a fascination. I'm assuming this is all rooted to Spanish football, because every decision Chris makes is somehow sports related. Yeah. So I'm sure this is some kind of romanticised link between himself. He pictures himself standing outside the Bernabeu, speaking Spanish, probably to a TV camera, in a Scottish accent, and... I still want to see that happen, but as yet he's not even taken the first step, and we're on January the 8th.
Well, if that's his future, that's an untapped market in Spain, I think. I think he'd stand out.
I think he would.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, if we gave him a tan, I think he would not stand out so much.
Yeah, well, there's tanning booths. There's some really good fake tanning.
I think the tanning booth is the easiest job he's got ahead of him.
It's the least of his worries. Anyway, Robbie, back to the sport, I guess. Hopefully, though, it was looking bleak for Andy Murray. Now he's had this operation, maybe there's a bit more longevity. But on to the cricket, I guess. South Africa, India, day four?
Day four, very dramatic day four as well, helped in part by the fact that India had removed South Africa in their second innings for 130. AB de Villiers top scoring with 35. It was a fantastic performance by the Indian bowlers, and they set up a chance to chase down or make history, become the first Asian team to go down to South Africa and chase down a total of over 200. 208 is the target. Unfortunately for Indian cricket fans out there, it is not going quite so well at the moment. India are 82 for 7, so they've suffered somewhat of a collapse. The pitch is clearly doing all sorts down there in Cape Town. Virat Kohli, he was removed by Vernon Philander for 28. LBW, Vijay Dharwan, they were gone for 13 and 16 respectively. And Hardik Pandya, who scored so well in that first innings, he was caught by de Villiers' bold rabada for just one run. So it's looking bleak for India with their run chase. They've only got 3 wickets in hand. They've still got to find another, 126 runs. So it's looking very, very bleak for India's chances. But an entertaining test match nonetheless. And certainly it's nice to see them down there in South Africa. And, it seems like it's going to bode well for the remainder of the series.
I'm kind of surprised at that, because I looked earlier on. I haven't looked for a few hours. They were 2 for no wicket. And I thought 205 is well possible. But that pitch, it's been a low scoring test, hasn't it? I think. What were the 209?
It has. Africa's first innings, 286. India replied with 209. And then South Africa removed for 130. India now 82 for 7. So, yeah, very low scoring test. Clearly a lot doing on the pitch, and it's nice to see that, given that India's last test was against Sri Lanka, and that was an exceptionally high scoring affair.
It was.
So, it's nice test cricket,
it's
isn't
amazing
it?
Amazing what pitches can do. Hola, mi nombre es Chris McCarty, which, thanks for that. When you come down, just show him that text later on and get him into the swing of things. You may kick off something Spanish in Chris McCarty that he didn't know.
I'm going to script some. I actually, unfortunately, decided to claim that I did speak a little bit of Spanish and then promptly forgot all the Spanish that I ever learned when asked to say anything. But I'm going to start scripting. I'm going to start scripting some intros for Chris in Spanish to get him practicing.
Just
maybe when
we
cover Spanish football, that could be the. The inn.
Yeah, it might be. Right, okay. That's pretty much all the time we've got, because we talked about Chris and his lack of Spanish.
I was
going to
say
we
can talk Spanish football then, because Real Madrid are in a bit of trouble. But lots of football coming up on Monday Night Football on the show later. Down at the Dow and Anchor, we're going to be joined by Dale Gordon and Sean from the Nadal Sheba Sports Complex as well will be joining us. So lots to talk about. Real Madrid are struggling for goals. Mm-hmm. Cristiano Ronaldo is struggling for goals. Just 4 in La Liga. That is the same total as Gareth Bale, who's played half the amount of games and only taken 18 shots on target. On goal, I should say, compared to Cristiano Ronaldo's 79. Ooh. What a poor strike rate that is for the Portuguese. And Real Madrid 23rd. In the European goal scoring charts for the top 5 leagues in Europe, which is not a position they are often in, Tim.
That's the standout stat. Plus, Coutinho out for 3 weeks at Barcelona. So more on that tonight. Last word for you, Robbie Greenfield. First time you've had this year, or have you? No, you've been involved in this, haven't you?
Done a couple.
Yeah,
they haven't improved since 2017.
The last word.
Amazon's Alexa can now control your.
Amazon's Alexa can now control your what, Robbie?
Oh, dear. Careful.
Consciousness.
Oh!
Robbie, that's quite a deep and
just
meaningful.
Because it was a long bleep. I was going to say mind, but it was a very long bleep, wasn't it?
Okay.
Maybe that's to fool us.
Right. So consciousness says Robbie Greenfield. Zena Zalameya is here. Got any answers for that one? Do you want to hear it once more? We'll just do it once more. But it may not
the
help.
Last word.
Amazon's Alexa can now control your...
Hmm.
That's a long one.
It does seem
can
long.
Can I just say that Robbie is onto me. The length of the bleep doesn't always reflect the length of the word. Gotta keep you guessing.
Okay.
Because I got one right, didn't I?
You did get one right. I was telling Chris, well, you got a round of applause, didn't you?
Did I?
Yeah, do you remember?
No, I got another one right recently.
Yeah, it was recent. Yeah, and I played the applause.
Did you?
You're just seeking applause now, are you?
Belated.
There you go, just to make
thank you.
Realise. Thanks very much. Z, any ideas what that is?
The only word I have in mind right now is bladder.
Okay. Zena Zalameya says bladder, so you can't have that if you're texting in. I'm going food urges.
You think it's food urges?
I think it's two words, and I think it's food urges.
Food urges.
Hence the long
bleep. Okay, if you have a guess, although, oh my goodness, there's lots of guesses in already. You have a better answer, text us 4001 via the free messaging app to take part.
Robbie, thanks for the news.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.